Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. We often see cookie cookbooks, bread books, cookbooks with a Latin, Italian, or Asian flair, but rarely see Polish food featured. Well, we can look no further than Annie Applebaum and Danielle Crittenden's From a Polish Country House Kitchen. What was once considered no-frills, heavy eating is brought to a simple, clean, and refreshing level that will have your taste buds singing as we hear more from Crittenden.
Just by way of background, Anne is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian on Eastern Europe, and I'm a Washington-based journalist, and we both admit that we are the very unlikely cookbook writers. None of our writing to date has focused on food, although we both privately love to cook and entertain. And the genesis for this book came when Anne, who is based in Poland, she's married to Radek Sikorski, who is currently the Polish finance minister. It came when she invited American friends of hers, including me, over for a weekend at their country house in the countryside of Poland. And it's a house that they had bought right after communism fell in 1990. And they rebuilt it pretty much from the ground up. It's an old, like, 19th century manor house, but at the time it had goats living in it. And they just did this spectacular, magical job, you know, over many years, till the point where you visit this house and you have no idea that it hasn't always been there, you know, just exactly as it is. And on this weekend that we all visited a few summers ago, we were just knocked out by the house, but also the whole revival of Poland post-communism and the revival of Polish food, which, you know, in an American context, we don't have necessarily really good associations with it, or to the degree we know about it. We think of it as heavy, maybe tasty, but sort of in the pierogi cabbage roll sense, but completely different over there, fascinating. And it seemed everything about this weekend we had there, both in her house and with the food and with the revival going on in Poland, just was symbolized by Anne's life there and her house there. So I said, we have to capture this. We have to capture this, and we have to capture this in the food, because it is so original, and yet something I think Americans would be very, very interested in.
Something that I noticed was that with all of the recipes is that they're all very clean. All the flavors seem very clean, and it's not as muddled or as heavy as you say.
Well, I think Polish cooking today is very much or similar to what we would, the type of food that Italian cooking is. I mean, it's simple. It's based on simple ingredients, rustic ingredients. What happened was when it came to North America, it sort of came at the turn of the last century through immigrants and largely poor immigrants, and it got kind of fossilized here. Just as if you went back to the 1950s and looked at Italian cooking, you know, you'd see pizza and lasagna and spaghetti, and you'd think of it, wow, this stuff is really heavy. But as we know, with like the Tuscan sort of revolution, when you go back and you look at, you know, more authentic, pure Italian cooking, it's similarly based on very simple, accessible ingredients. It's very homey. It's delicious. And Polish cuisine is like that as well, that yes, there are potatoes and pickles and dill, but there are also wonderful elements. There's also game. There are elements of sort of sour flavors that play in, like we have a recipe that's basically sourdough bread soup. And root vegetables and roasts and stews. And that's really what both new Polish cooking is about, but also old Polish cooking was about.
So where did you begin to start compiling these recipes to bring the old and the new together?
Well, Anne, first of all, she obviously has a big familiarity with Polish cooking in Poland. So she collected a bunch of recipes just from her own experience and cooking and books that she used in Polish there. Some of them came from like her relatives, her mother-in-law, very traditional ones. We collected a couple from some of the new restaurants that are experimenting, taking things like the pierogi and pretty much turning it into dim sum. So while we have recipes for the traditional pierogi with, you know, potato and cheese and peas, we also have ones like with duck and cabbage and things like that. And then she also sent me a book, an English book from the 1950s, or a Polish cookbook in English, that had a lot of the traditional recipes that was, I think, written for maybe the Polish housewife who found herself somewhere in America and needed, you know, wanted to cook these recipes. And I went through that and pulled out what I thought were the most interesting and, you know, interesting to an American palate, and worked on those to adapt them to sort of modern American cooking and tastes. Like, so our cabbage rolls, for example, I found in this old Polish cookbook, do not have to be made from sort of pork or beef and heavy and covered in tomato sauce. In fact, in Polish, they're known, the word translates for them, golubki, as little doves. And they're quite delicate, and the filling can be turkey and rice, which is what the recipe we included, with a very light wild mushroom sauce. And, you know, they're only slightly fatter and longer than spring rolls. So that was, I think, the fun way to take even stereotypical dishes of Poland and transform them and make them, you know, meet modern standards of both diet and taste.
Now, you mentioned wild mushrooms, and there is a wild mushroom soup recipe that just sounds absolutely amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about it? The traditional one?
I just made it the other night. I'm in Washington, and so I made a Polish dinner on Saturday night. And that is a wonderful recipe. They use, mushrooms just grow all over the place. And the average Pole can wander into a forest and pick all, you know, chanterelles and all the great mushrooms, seemingly without, you know, getting poisoned or picking the wrong one. So mushrooms are very much a part of their culture. And so this mushroom soup, we have it, there's a traditional one, and then this one that is sort of our favorite is what we call a boozier mushroom soup. And it's got some splash of Madeira, but it's a mixture of the dry mushrooms, and you can use any kind of mixture. And over here, it's often easier to get the more exotic mushrooms dried. And then you can use regular brown mushrooms that you would get at the supermarket. It's all tossed together and simmered in a very, what amounts to an earthy broth, slightly creamy with this dash of Madeira. And the guests, they just loved it. They were knocked out by it.
Now, can we use fresh mushrooms if we can find them?
Yes. I mean, what I find, and I'm sure this is many people's experience, is when I go to the farmer's market, which I do every weekend, and it's mushroom season, and I get very, very excited, and then I see these little tiny handfuls of mushrooms, and they want to charge you like $20 for them, and you go, ugh. And in Poland, I remember we have actually a photograph of mushrooms that just came into Anne's house, and there must be like 3 pounds of chanterelles there, and you think, okay, we can't get those here at those levels. But if you can, you know, it's worth getting a handful or so of, you know, the more exotic mushrooms. But we find the dry mushrooms reconstituted, and we actually have a recipe for how to dry your own. It's really easy. But the dry mushrooms reconstituted with a, you know, handful of brown or, you know, regular organic mushrooms really is, you know, just as tasty and works really, really well.
Which lends a lot more to the broth, too.
Right. We both, you know, you end up, yeah, exactly, because you end up letting them sit in, you know, boiling water, and then you have this additional rich mushroom broth to add.
And then I thought a really nice main course is the roast chicken with clementines. And that sweet, citrusy taste with the chicken just sounds delightful.
Well, that actually has been one of our favorites and hits, especially amongst our families, whom I labeled the Polish food crash test dummies. Poles also, because of communism, they kind of have always been seasonal local people. I mean, not least because under the shortages of communism, you ended up having to grow, you know, many of your own vegetables, even if you lived in the city. So this culture of eating seasonally and to whatever you had access also pervades this book. And the clementines, which we usually see at least in the Washington or the Northeast around over Christmas, is one of those delightful recipes that is so simple. People always think that roasting a chicken is somehow going to be, you know, elaborate. And actually, we have two roasted chicken recipes. The other is called weeknight roast chicken because it's so incredibly easy. And with this clementine one, you just take those clementines, you throw in basically three of them into the cavity, throw the chicken into the oven. An hour or so later, you have this gorgeous, crispy, citrusy roast chicken. And the sauce is basically just a reduction of the pan juices with some more orange added to it. And it is. It's a lovely burst of citrus in winter. So the timing of it is very nice, too.
Mm, gosh, that sounds so good. And then I just love plum cakes, and I was so happy to see a recipe for one here.
Well, this is, we experimented with a lot of plum cakes. The cake culture in Poland is more like Germany or even Italy, in that it's not a huge dessert culture in the way of, you know, America with thousands of confections and iced cakes and things. It's much more sort of coffee cakes and fruit cakes and that sort of thing. And a lot of them, when you trace, not just in the cakes themselves and in this plum cake recipe, but when you trace a lot of the food, there's a lot of French origins to it. France had a big impact on Polish cooking, at the turn of the 19th century. Poles used to, actually, their cuisine used to be renowned through Europe as being very good, not least because of its French influence. And so our plum recipe is very similar to a kind of French plum cake where you can just take whole or half plums and put them in a nice sweet kind of batter and bake them and it's done. It's not sort of an elaborate, you know, plum tort or something like that, or tart.
Like a kuchen.
Yes.
Well, the name of the book is From a Polish Country House Kitchen. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, the name of the cookbook is From a Polish Country House Kitchen by Annie Applebaum and Danielle Crittenden. It is published by Chronicle Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.